For day two, I skipped the bar and watched games with some teammates from my over 30 league team. On the way, I bought a six pack of Dos Equis for the first game and a sixer of Heineken for the second game. It never occurred to me to buy Foster's for the third game. Anyway, I was surprised to learn that Chicharito didn't start the rainy game in at all. Mexico looked lively and much improved from the games in the Hex. As Aaron Smith said, referees have been the story of the World Cup so far, a PK in the Brazil game and two offside decisions against the Santos, which were both incorrect. Thought Herrera provided great service in the first half and had lots of nice passes in the second. Etu had a great chance to equalize from BAE, but hit the post and then stopped an apparent header midway through the second half. He was disappointed and surprised that they lasted the full 90. Let me take a moment here to address the straight-up homer announcers in this game. Why would ESPN do that? I mean, they bought the qualifying package, so they're obviously trying to tap the market, but feel a little objectivity might have been in order here. For the second half, more of the same as Mexico continued to possess the ball but couldn't find the breakthrough. BAE had a deflected free kick 3 minutes into the second half, which I'm sure caused some hearts and throats for Mexican fans. On the hour mark, Cameron was opened up, but Gio Dos Santos still couldn't finish, but Peralta swept in the rebound. Nunku, Nounkeu, he's number five, struggled coming in as a sub in the second half. Should have been tighter on the first goal and then hacked down a Mexican player later in the half. Then Weibo came in for Song. I'm not sure about that decision. I like the second striker, but we've kept Alex Song in. Cameron pressed and were a little more dangerous, but really exposed at the back. I really thought Mukanjo had equalized, but Ochoa secured the header. Mexico deserved winners. They got screwed on the offside cause, but they asked more questions. Slow start for Cameroon, but they survived, and there were several moments where the strength and size of the Cameroonian team really stood out. They'll need to be more proactive against Croatia. Taylor Twellman was excellent post-game, knowing the partnership of Peralta and Dos Santos and how Cameroon didn't really pressure Mexico. On a sad note, my 100% record of predictions has come and gone. Moving on to Spain and Holland, I was conflicted about this match and who to root for, and didn't wear a jersey from either side. For my predictor, I called it a 1-1 draw. Graham Hunter has been posting videos retelling the story of the Spanish team from just before Euro 2008 to Euro 2012 on his blog, grahamhunter.tv. Some really fantastic stuff, and I can't wait to get his book, Spain: The Inside Story of La Roja's Historic Trouble. As for the Dutch, Simon Cooper shared his thoughts on the team, talking about the new system, a young team that may be too dependent on RVP and Robin. Holland looked very comfortable in their 5-3-2 in the opening exchanges. Can't believe Schneider didn't put away his early chance, which harkened back to Robin's misses in the 2010 final. As for the uniforms, very weird to see Holland in all blue, and even stranger to see Spain in all white. Several comments went up on Twitter about how Barcelona players must have felt wearing all white. Great ball from Xavi released Costa, and Devery barely caught the big Brazilian, which was very reminiscent of Altidore's penalty against Chelsea earlier this season. Xabi Alonso slid away and was 1-0 to the Spanish. The Dutch's discipline seemed to have come and gone. They were lucky to avoid a second goal when Silva couldn't beat Claesson. Then came a moment of absolute genius. Fantastic diagonal ball from Blind was met by a diving RVP, who to that moment had been offside almost every time. Halftime came and it gave everyone a chance to catch their breath. De Guzman was awful in the first half. He was caught in possession, he committed several rough fouls, and I thought he would get subbed at halftime for sure. The second half started at a feverish pace for the Dutch, who punished a Spanish turnover, and Blind again fed Robin, who had a delicious first touch and then turned inside of PK. Upon multiple reviews, it looked like Sergio Ramos's deflection took it past Casillas. Then disaster struck on 64 minutes. A Dutch free kick was whipped in, got all the way to the back, and De Vrij somehow scored. 3-1 to the Dutch. Following that, Silva's goal was chalked off halfway through the second stanza, and with Costa off, I wondered if Torres and Pedro could deliver the goals. Things went from bad to worse as Casillas made a catastrophic error to allow RVP to score a second, and then Robin outran Sergio Ramos and slammed the ball past a flailing Casillas. For the second half, I really thought there were too many long balls from the Netherlands, but Van Gaal's team kept their discipline and hustled the Spanish off the ball. They punished the turnovers and mistakes, and Iniesta barely saw the ball. For the defending champions, the obvious question is, can they recover? They lost the opening game in 2010, but the nature of this defeat was quite different. Barcelona has shown real problems sustaining excellence, and there are definitely elements of this for La Roja. My guess is that Del Bosque will stay this course against Chile, and only ring in the changes is only if Spain is out of the tournament by the Australia game. As I tweeted to a follower toward the end of the match, Bayern and Brazil have shown how to beat Barcelona slash Spain. Now teams are taking that and knocking the Spanish off their pedestal. Louis Van Gaal was for one match proved completely correct based on setup, choosing youth, and believing in Robin and RVP. Couple of comments on the ESPN coverage. Martinez was excellent again, and Ruud van Nistelrooy was very wooden during the pregame, but when he spoke honestly and passionately about the no Netherlands, he really shone. For the final game, Chile played Australia. A shambolic defending by the Aussies saw the South Americans up 2-0 inside of 15 minutes. As Alexi Lalas mentioned at halftime, Chile didn't step on the throat of their opponents, and Cahill's header 10 minutes from the interval gave Australia real hope. I thought Vidal struggled and was well off the pace. Sanchez did his usual thing. Clever footwork, fought gravity, scored a goal, and frustrated viewers. Valdivia showed some positive signs that I really enjoyed watching him play. Australia continued their improved play, could have equalized on a number of occasions, most of them coming from Chile being too ponderous in front of the goal. Cahill was definitely the focal point, and I thought Lecky, number 7, had an outstanding second half on the right-hand side. Chile continued to search for the third goal, which is their style, but it left them very open. The announcer rightly noted that better teams are going to take advantage of this. Boishazer did well from left midfield, coming on as a sub for the Chileans. The game petered out in the last 10 minutes before Boishazer hit a well-placed shot after Pinella's initial effort was saved. 3-1 was a fair result and yet harsh on the Australians. I picked this game as 1-0 to Chile, so my prediction of them getting out of the group is still possible. Today is heaven, a quadruple header, a full day of soccer, and we'll chat tomorrow. Ta-ta!